Backbone Radio on this not-so-lovely Sunday evening, although the visibility is pretty good here from the studio right now. I'm pleased to report the Denver Broncos did not lose today. Neither did the Washington Redskins. So that's good for the teams that I like. I'm talking with State Senator Greg Brophy, coming back for the new legislative session. First, Greg, let's talk about what committees you are going to be on this coming session. You're a ranking member of at least one.
Right. I'm the ranking member on the Ag and Natural Resources Committee because I am the only farmer in the Senate, I think. And I'm now starting my ninth year serving on the Ag Committee in the House and the Senate. I'm also on Finance, which sees anything related to tax and fee increases, which is generally a lot of fun to be on. Last year, that was the committee to be on when the Dirty Dozen tax increases were passed, and I got to lead the fight against those and had a good time doing it. Of course, we lost because we're outnumbered, but I think we won the battle of ideas on that one. I'm also on a couple boring committees. I'm on the Legal Services Committee, which really is just, it's one of the most mundane, get your business done committees at the state capitol, but it's also critically important when it comes to the oversight of the regulators. Because here in Colorado, we actually have a pretty cool process. The regulators, when they implement a new rule, we have, as a legislative body, 1 year to say, no, you can't do that. And so we have to review all of the rules every year, and we do that through the rule review process. And sometimes it ends up being a big fight. We had a big fight over the oil and gas rules a couple of years ago with that committee, so it's a fun one. And then I got, you know, a little stuck on a little interesting committee that won't be doing much of anything, but meeting all around the state and talking about redistricting all of the congressional districts. And that will be quite the show and tell, I'm afraid.
Well, let's talk about that. Actually, it never occurred to me that citizens' input would be taken in the redistricting process. What's that about?
Well, it's new. It was kind of interesting how this came about. I think that just my guess. I think Democrat leadership took a look at all of the district judges that could get the redistricting case in Colorado and said, wait a minute, this is like a 50-50 chance that we get an honest judge versus one that might lean to our side here from a Democrat perspective. And so they decided that instead of taking the chance like they did in 2001 and forcing redistricting into the courts on purpose, that maybe this time we can actually have the legislature redraw the districts for our seven congressional districts in Colorado. And so they set up a joint committee made up of five Republicans and five Democrats that's going to go all around the state of Colorado and all of the congressional districts and meet and take testimony from the citizens on what's important to them. You know, is it important that we keep communities of interest whole? Is it important that we keep counties whole? Is it important that the district look like it did last time so that you kind of have the same congressman that you had last time? What's important to all of the citizens around the state of Colorado? And we're governed by a bunch of Supreme Court cases, and we're governed by some statute, and it's going to be an interesting process. My hope is that that the legislature actually draws a map that sticks, and I think we can do that if we draw one that follows all of the constitutional requirements, that is both fair and legal.
So tell me, we've talked about this before, but I don't remember the details. What is the actual mechanism for redistricting? Who votes on what the map looks like? How does that work?
Well, what happens, the reality is that the Democrats will have a numbers cruncher put together a map that benefits them, and then a Democrat senator or Democrat representative will introduce that as a bill in the legislature, and the Republicans will do exactly the same thing. But what we're going to do through this big process of taking public testimony is actually try to come to an agreement on what is legal, what is fair, and what honors all of the constitutional requirements. And then we introduce a bill describing the seven congressional districts in the state of Colorado. And they have to be, as I recall, they have to be evenly split up to the person for congressional districts. So that is one requirement we will not get away from. And because of that, then
each district has to have the same population, you mean?
Yeah, same population.
Wow.
And that includes prisoners and illegal aliens, whoever was counted in the census. So the sixth congressional district, Kaufman's district, is overpopulated, and it's going to have to shed some people. And I think the first Diana DeGette's district, I believe, is underpopulated. You take 5,030,000 people, which is what the state's population is, divide it by 7, and that gives you your number. And we have to draw congressional districts based on those numbers, 700 and some odd thousand people.
So with the 6th, Democrats are going to want to try to cut Republicans out of the 6th and maybe move them into the 7th, the 5th. That's all, because it won't change anything. Or how's that going to work? I mean, the Democrats are going to want to try to make the 6th more competitive.
No.
They know that they can't make the first will never be competitive.
No, I think what I'm going to try to do is get a fair and legal map drawn. But what I suspect the Democrats are going to try to do is pack as many Republicans as they possibly can into the 6th and the 5th, and pull as many Democrats as they can out of the 6th congressional district and stick them into the 7th to make it even more left-leaning than it already is.
Right.
And that's the political side of this. And you can't take politics out of this. You cannot take politics out of redistricting, because it's all about who wins elections. But there will be some folks who will be making the arguments about having the more competitive districts. But you're hamstrung by some court cases. It was Carsten versus Lamb, I think, from 1982 or something like that, where a federal district court said that the city and county of Denver is supposed to be kept whole, and the Western Slope is supposed to be kept as whole as possible. So your hands are somewhat tied along those lines. But yeah, that's what happens. And where you really saw that happen is in the state reapportionment process of the state House and Senate districts, which is done by a special committee, not by the legislature. It's a very partisan committee last time. And when you look at the results of the election, for instance, and I haven't added this up, but I bet if you add it up, there were a tremendous number more votes cast for Republican House members than for Democrat House members, and for more Republican senators than Democrat senators. But we just barely won the House back, and we only won one contested seat in the Senate because of the reapportionment process, where what they do is they pack as many Republicans as possible into a few number of seats, and then try to make as many seats as possible 53% Democrat to 47% Republican, and then throw a lot of money and resources at it and win those races.
So when does that reapportionment come up again?
That happens right now also. We'll be using exactly the same numbers, but it's 65 House seats and 35 Senate seats. And it is done by this reapportionment commission, and they're appointed starting in late March, 4 members appointed from the legislature. They do not have to be members of the legislature, but 4 appointed by the legislature, even D's and R's, 3 appointed by the governor, and 4 appointed by the Chief Justice of the Colorado State Supreme Court, making an 11-member commission. And they start meeting then in mid-May, again, with a bunch of public meetings around the state of Colorado. And they have to have their map done, as does the redistricting, by October 9th. Our goal with redistricting is to actually have a map done and settled before the session gavel bangs down on May 10th, so we don't have to have a special session, which costs a couple $100,000.
Can the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court appoint 4 Democrats? Theoretically?
Yes. Well, they might have to, I don't remember exactly. They might be required to appoint some unaffiliated voters, but what Mary Mularkey did last time around was appoint 4 very partisan Democrat-leaning people, and that tilted the process completely to the Democrats, which is why we ended up with the mess that we have in the House and the Senate.
So, and then in terms of the bill for the congressional districts, does it come down to, let me rephrase the question. What happens if John Hickenlooper doesn't like the bill?
Then he would veto it, and we would run another bill, in theory, to address what his concerns were, and hopefully get him to sign it. But if you can't get an agreement from the governor, the Senate, and the House, it goes into court, because we have deadlines. I mean, you know, these maps have to be drawn in time for precinct caucuses in February, because it's a presidential year coming up, and we're going to have precinct caucuses in early February. So we have to have these maps drawn by the, you know, it has to be a settled issue by mid-December, late December at the end. I mean, think about this too. If you're thinking about running for a Congress, I mean, those are big seats. You can probably live in the district. But if you're thinking about running for the state house, you may not even know what district you're going to live in, for crying out loud, until January. And we have precinct caucuses in February. It makes it a little bit hard. And I guarantee you, if you're thought to be a pretty good candidate and you're living in a swing seat, you might get yourself drawn out by the powers that be if the powers have the, you know, the ability to do just that. So yeah, there are a lot of considerations here.
You know, I guess it's just the intensity of the politics of the last several years, but it's so hard for me to think about any political process, especially one as important as redistricting, without just assuming that it's going to be a disgusting, you know, gutter, unethical slugfest of Democrats trying to game the system.
I'm sure we're just going to have a fair and legal system, and we're going to follow all of the rules. And yeah, there'll be a lot of political considerations. But you know what? There's been some pretty good faith put forward on this, and you never can tell what motivates people. Again, politics always rears its head, but you can all you can tell is what they say and what they do. And what we're seeing right now is genuine good faith.
I hope it ends up being that way. We got to hit a break right now. When we come back, Matt, stay on the phone. We'll take your call as soon as we come back after this break, right here on Backbone Radio on News Talk 710 KNUS and 1460 KZNT. Stay with us. Welcome back to Backbone Radio, one of my favorite bands. Rush mentioning things not being left to chance. You know, you just have to wonder, Senator Brophy, going into this redistricting discussion. A listener sends me an instant message here saying that the Democrats are going to hurt us because the Republicans could well, I'm a little colorful language here, which I won't use, but basically the Republicans can mess up anything. And so I hope that's wrong. You know what, let's go to the phones. Our friend Matt Arnold joins us on the phone to talk a little redistricting. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Ross, well, thanks for having me on the show. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Driving back in the ice and snow from playing Army this weekend, and of course tuned in to listen to Backbone Radio, listen to the great discussion you had with Senator Brophy about redistricting, and of course I could not refrain from calling in with a couple more insights.
Well, fire away. We'd love to hear them.
Well, just a quick thing about the process. The there is in fact some statutory limitations on who can be on the reapportionment commission. There cannot be more than 6 members of any one party. However, obviously what can happen is you pick people that are de jure unaffiliated. They're not registered necessarily with the party, but lean one way. So either way, Justice Michael Bender is going to be the one that ultimately decides how our state level legislative districts are reapportioned, because he does make those 4 final picks. So Republicans can pretty much look forward to being hosed, I guess, to use a Canadianism from your favorite band Rush, in the upcoming reapportionment battles. Now, on the redistricting thing, ultimately we will not end up with a set of congressional districts that the Supreme Court cannot live with, again, the current majority, because with what they've done to standing, any yokel who doesn't like the way it comes out can sue and have standing according to their interpretation. So if they want to, it will end up in their hands, and they will make the ultimate decision. However, I do think that because there probably is enough commonality of interest between the parties to come up with something, because Colorado, I think, naturally is a 3-4 split on congressional districts, they'll probably work something out, and they'll ask the courts to stand down. I think a lot of they can no longer use the court gambit with the impunity that they could in the past, because there's been a lot more attention focused on that, and particularly over the last year or so, highlighting the role of the Colorado Supreme Court in usurping that power away from the legislature. And I think the legislature has also become a little bit more jealous of their constitutional authority and their rights and prerogatives to make that decision according to our Constitution. So the opportunity for the courts to usurp that with impunity, without anyone paying attention, has gone away, fortunately. But ultimately, because of what they have, the groundwork they have laid, withstanding, with setting the precedent through their power grab in 2000 and 2003, which is when the case is ultimately decided, they do have the final word if they choose to exercise it.
You know, one thing that occurs to me from your comments, Matt, as far as whether the redistricting would end up going to a judge due to lack of agreement among the legislature and Governor Hickenlooper. I can't believe I'm saying Governor Hickenlooper. I think I just threw up in my mouth a little bit when I said that. But Governor Hickenlooper ran perhaps much as Barack Obama did, and maybe with the same degree of truth in it, as a moderate, a uniter, to use more of a Bush term, but still Obama ran that way, as someone who is going to bring the country together. I think if one of the first or at least most important things that John Hickenlooper is tasked with doing in terms of his involvement with the reapportionment is to punt. I think that will look quite bad for him. What do you think, Senator Greg Brophy?
You know, I think Matt hit on something too about this notion of separation of powers, and even activist Democrat legislators still like to think that the legislature is important. Look, our goal is to do this, is to put together a map, you know, pass the bill, have it signed, that is a map that will stand the challenge that will inevitably come through somebody suing over, you know, and taking us to court on it. If we follow all of the constitutional requirements and all of the legal requirements, and we have a fair and legal and constitutionally correct map, then I think the courts will let it stand, and that will be a huge victory for the legislature in Colorado.
I would agree with that, but with the one caveat that even if the legislature does come to an agreement, and I think there's a pretty good chance that you will, and the governor does sign off on it, there is still the opportunity for somebody to sue. Like you said, even if you cross all the T's, dot all the I's, get all the ducks in a row, someone could still sue. And ultimately, this rather lawless Colorado Supreme Court and the Chief Justice could, if they so chose, usurp that power yet again. And it's going to come down to, I think, some of the politics of it, and hopefully you guys do a good enough job that it would make it difficult for them to usurp that power. But I think ultimately it's going to come down to coming up with a redistricting plan that is acceptable to both sides, which is as it should be.
Well, that's what you're going to have here, because we own the House in Colorado, and the Democrats have the Senate and the governor's office, and you know, we don't want to punt it into court. That's what they did in 2001, and I think that
that's the strategy then. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this time, you know, we'd like to get it settled. We're going to be up against a real crunch though, because these numbers aren't going to be available to us until the first part of March, and we get out of session on May 10th, and we've got a budget to balance in the meantime, and we have a School Finance Act to pass all in that same time frame, because all of that is all three of those activities are going to end up crunched into the last 60 days of the session.
Matt, I'll give you 15 seconds here for your last word.
Well, if you want a little bit more information about the whole reapportionment and redistricting process, I'm going to put in a shameless plug for my website, clearthebenchcolorado.org. Quite a bit of more explanation about how that process works. Just search on reapportionment or redistricting to find a number of articles that were written on that subject with the mind to educating the public about how that process works.
Well, you know, anybody who actually knows which one of the processes is reapportionment and which one is redistricting is already more expert than I am. So thanks for taking time to call in tonight, Matt. Drive safely, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you soon.
Will do. Thanks, Rod.
All right.
Senator Brophy, appreciate it.
Okay, so when we come back after this break, we're going to talk with State Senator Greg Brophy about some interesting and less interesting items. We're going to talk state budget. Believe it or not, we're going to talk daylight savings time. And I also want to talk with Greg Brophy about the fact that my health premiums are going up 17% and that some part of that is actually due to state regulation and not just to Obamacare, which I myself was somewhat surprised to learn. So stay with us right here on Backbone Radio. We'll be back after these words.